So this morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 3, and we are in our I Am series, looking at the book of John and seeing Jesus in the book of John. We're going to look at John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Verse 1 through 21, although we're really going to zero in on verses 16 and 17 this morning. But as we do that, I do want us to come to the Word of God expectantly. Ephesians 3 tells us that it's because of Christ and our faith in Him that we are able to come boldly and confidently into the presence of God. And so, as we are here this morning, despite our humanity and our mess and any other, as Brad prayed, about distractions, you know, God is more than able in His power to overcome all of our little hurdles and obstacles and squirrel moments, and help us to really be in conversation with Him and experience His presence today through His Word. And so, let me pray, and we'll look at John 3 here in a moment, just a continuation of what Brad prayed. Lord Jesus, we pray that this morning, by Your Spirit, Lord, and in Your direction, because of Your presence, that You would help each of us, Lord, and we pray, trusting that You will do this, that You will guide us, that You will teach us by Your Spirit, Lord. You'll help us to hear and understand and apply Your Word today. God, help us to see You, Lord Jesus. Help us to see You and to value You and to get a little more glimpse of Your worth today and Your glory. God, we pray that in everything that happens, that You would be pleased and You'd be glorified. It's in Your name. Amen. So I've titled the message today, This is How God Loved the World. This is how God loved the world. And I'll start out by asking the question, how are you doing today? Great. Great, good?
Highly favored.
Highly favored, that's good, yeah. Blessed. Okay. Nobody's going to use the tired word? Okay, all right. Yeah, right on. Blessed, but a little tired. That's all right. God loves honesty. Let me ask another question. You know, we often ask people that question when we see somebody maybe at work or somebody out on the street, a friend, and we say, hey, how you doing? You know, but I want to ask you another question today that I think is pretty valid. Maybe we need to ask each other this question more often. How are you loving today? How are you loving today? Today we're going to look at a conversation between a religious leader named Nicodemus, who was very respected. He was a Pharisee, and his conversation with Jesus. And as we talk about this, I hope and believe that we are going to experience a little more understanding of the Word and God's desire for us to know His love. We live in a culture where I believe probably the most misunderstood and misused word in our language is love. Anybody want to second that? Yeah? I mean, do you know of any other concept that's like more confused in our culture today than love? Which is so sad. But, you know, God is so clear about love and His Word, and He wants us to understand, you know, He is the Bible tells us God is love. He is the originator of love. He's the embodiment of love. And so, for us to really understand clearly what love truly is, we need to look at the Word of God and look at the Son of God and look at His person and what He has done for us. You know, we use that term love so wrongly. I think about, in the moment, I think about coffee. You know? And I would be the first to tell you, probably wrongly so, that, man, I love coffee. I was talking to a young guy at a coffee shop here recently who's a believer, and I said, you know, it's not in the Bible, but I wouldn't be surprised when we arrive in heaven, there may very well be a river of the best coffee ever. And I'm going swimming, you know. Amen. But, you know, we just throw that word around. We just, in so many ways, with love. And I think that part of it is that our language is very limited. You know, in Greek, they had four different words that they would use for love, for different types of love. Agape being the highest love, the love of God. But love is more than an emotion. The way we use it so much in our culture, we talk about love as if it's just an emotion, or it's just involving our happiness, or it just involves like self-satisfaction in the way that we use it. But real love, for us to understand what real love is, the love of God, we have to look to Jesus Christ. And we have to look to the cross, because the cross is the greatest expression of the love of God, the love of God for mankind. At the cross, God, the great multitasker, was doing many things. But one of the things that he was doing, I think, with a megaphone that is just reverberating through eternity is, I love you. I love you. And if we ever have any doubt of that, you know, like Brad was saying in his prayer, you know, there are days where we're just not very faithful. You know, there are days where we just fall short. There are days where we're weak. There are days where we're just God's really super messy kids. And we think, man, if I was the parent and this was my kid, I don't know how I could really love them that much today because they're so messed up. But that's not God. You know, we need to be reminded every day of what Jesus did on the cross and look to the cross and understand that he did it out of his nature. He did it out of his love. And it's not a matter of us ever being worthy of that or ever deserving that. We don't. But he just makes it so emphatically clear, saying, I love you. That's why I took your sins. That's why I went to the cross. That's why I became the Lamb for you. He loves you. So let's go ahead and start here in John 3, verse 1. And I'm just going to read through this whole conversation, this meeting between Jesus and Nicodemus, and then we'll talk about it. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual lives. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know, what we have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see they are doing what God wants. This is how God loved the world. This is how God loved the world. The word for love there in verse 16 is agape. For the believer, God tells us that we are to love one another, agapeo. We're to love one another as he has loved us, with his love. when the Lord tells us that, what he means is, I want you to love each other in an active doing way. It's a verb. I want you to actively love one another in my power and at my direction. It's a doing kind of love that is born of the Spirit and born of water. For those who are born again, and God gives us the provision of his Holy Spirit to be able to love that way. So this morning we're going to recognize four truths about God's love. First of all, God's love is a foregoing love. God's love is a foregoing love. And by that, what we mean is that it is a love that sacrifices and relinquishes. Verse 13 there. No one has ever gone to heaven and returned but the Son of Man, Jesus. The Son of Man has come down from heaven. In order for us to be forgiven of our sins and enter into this relationship with God and to receive his Spirit, Jesus set aside all of that rights and beauty that he had in heaven and the adoration and the praises that he'd experienced and came to earth into the dust and the messiness and all of the sinfulness of earth, foregoing, giving up what he was receiving there to come here for our benefit. For our benefit. And in Philippians 2, God's word tells us, you need to have this same attitude that Christ Jesus had, that though he was God, he didn't cling to that. That he was willing to come here and give up those divine privileges, taking on the form of a servant, humbling himself to obedience to God, even death on a cross. God's love is a love that sacrifices. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And Jesus is pointing to the cross. His love is a sacrificial love. God's word tells us in John 15 that there's no greater love, Jesus said, than a person would lay down their life for a friend. That they would lay down their life. You know, when I came into my marriage with Kim 14 years ago, I had a lot of wrong ideas about love. I still probably do. God's still working on me. It's a learning process, and he is so patient. Long-term, low pressure. But you know, we come into relationships, especially a romantic relationship, and we talk about how somebody completes us. Instead of what we, and there's a sense in which that's true. God does give us complementary relationships and different abilities and things, but that's not the highest thing. When we come into a relationship, God wants to love that person through us, and a lot of times that looks like sacrifice. That looks like giving. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, for husbands loving their wives, we're to do that as Christ loved the church, that we are to give up our life, just as Christ gave up his life for the church. To do that, we have to love in his power. You know, when Kim and I got married, I remember the first couple of years and some of the messiness, and one of the breakthroughs that I had where God really met me and spoke very clearly to me, and we would have these just terrible fights. So if that's you, there's hope. Because ours was bad. It was just constant fighting for those first couple of years. And even though we were Christians, we were just immature in a lot of ways and didn't know much. And we needed God to chisel away and remove stuff that didn't look like him so we could love like him and to lean into him and understand marriage and understand love. But I remember in front of our pastor meeting with him, and he'd always take us to the Word of God, which is awesome. And he'd say, you are believers, aren't you? I mean, you see what the Word of God says. But this, but that, you know, we want to justify ourselves. And he said, no. Look at what the Word of God says. But occasionally, I would even try to, like, justify, you know, take a piece of the Word of God out of context. Say, well, yeah, but this, and she, whatever. And I remember one day, I was by myself, and I think we had gone to see our pastor and his wife. And I was just at home, and just very clearly, God spoke to me, and he said, you know, James, I didn't tell you in my word that you need to be right in regard to your wife. I told you, you need to love her. You stop worrying about justifying yourself and how right you are in every argument and trying to justify not loving her that way. He's like, you set that aside and you do what I told you to do and you love your wife. God's so merciful. I'm so glad he did that. I needed it. And he's still working on me. Now, you know, I will qualify that because, you know, God wants us to have that sacrificial, foregoing love in every relationship. It's not just with husbands and wives. As Christians, we're called to have genuine, authentic, sincere love for every person. But we are not to sacrifice truth, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. God didn't tell me to do wrong for the sake of love. He just said, stop demanding your rights all the time. Okay, so we don't twist truth, we don't sacrifice truth for the sake of love, but we also have to be careful that we don't sacrifice love and try to justify it by saying, you know, let me take this little nugget of scripture and twist it in some way so I feel justified in not loving this person. God's love is a foregoing love, a sacrificial love. You guys glad for that today? Aren't you? Isn't that wonderful? Amen. If he hadn't been willing to set aside his rights and the beauty and the adoration of heaven and come here and go to the cross, we'd be in serious trouble. Man, I'm so glad that God has a foregoing love, and then he calls us to have the same thing. But you know what? God's word says it was a joy set before him when he was going to the cross. Even though there was sacrifice, it was a joy set before him for what would be accomplished. And he gives us that same joy. There is a joy, I'm telling you, there is a joy in my marriage now that I understand that God wants me to die to self more readily and lean into him and love my wife through his power. There's so much more joy now than when I was trying to do it in my strength. I was reading about a man named Dandaba. He was a Brahmin in India a long time ago. And he came to Christ, and when he came to Christ, he was a very wealthy man. And his heart just overflowed with joy and with love of Christ when he believed the gospel. And he couldn't shut up telling people about Jesus. And in the culture that he was in, it was all Hindu around him, and so he took a lot of pushback. He actually ended up losing all of his houses, people confiscating his houses. He lost all his land. He lost his wells. His wife left him. His children left him. He was an outcast in his own community. But he had so much love for people. He thought, you know, how can I be quiet? How can I not tell people about Jesus? People need to know. And he was so overwhelmed with the love of God that he just, no matter what the cost, he kept sharing the love of Jesus with people. And somebody asked Dandaba one day, they said, how do you bear up under all the sorrow of all the loss in your life? And you seem kind of happy, and you seem joyful. How is it that you just bear up under all the sorrow? And he said, that's a really funny question. Because he said, nobody ever asked me, how do you bear up under the weight of the joy? Because it's like, it's all joy. He said, I count all those losses as gain. He said, Jesus left heaven. Jesus came and sought out a sinner like me. And I'm so excited and so joyful. And it's a delight, no matter what I've lost. It's a delight to have Christ. Aren't you glad that Jesus has a foregoing love for you? And you know, God tells us that because we have his Holy Spirit, we can have the same kind of love. You can make sacrifices in your life for the sake of other people to love them. You can. You can do it. I could be a self-centered idiot like anybody, but I'm telling you, God can do it. His power is greater than our selfishness. His love is more powerful. His Spirit can do that in us. You can have a foregoing love in your life. God's love is also a faithful love. His love is a faithful love. And that's wonderful to know. You ever see a couple that are married for a while and all of a sudden you find out they're in trouble and they're going to go to divorce proceedings or separating, and sometimes you hear somebody say, well, you know, it was so good at the beginning, but they changed. guess what? We all change. You know, welcome to Earth. You know, we're pliable. We change. We're emotional beings. Our emotions change. People change. Hopefully in Christ, we change to be more like Him. Amen? But God's commitment to loving you never changes. It never changes. No matter what kind of day you have or season in life, God's Word tells us even when we are faithless, He is faithful. His love is a faithful love. He is committed to you. Again, verses 16 and 17 there. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through Him. That's faithfulness. That's commitment. I mean, think about the beauty of Jesus Christ. Sinless, holy. Going to the cross. At any moment, He could have called on a legion of angels to come and strike down everybody who wanted to nail Him up. At any moment, and He would have been right to do so. At any moment, He could have looked at sinful humanity and said, I don't think so. I don't think so. Let's just rain down some fire on you guys, and I'm not doing that. He never wavered. He knew what was waiting at the cross, and He never wavered because He has a faithful love. He's tempted in every way, just as we are. And I'm sure that the enemy was trying to undermine Him any way he could to try to keep Him from going to the cross, but Jesus wouldn't let that happen. There was nothing that could stop Him because His love for you and me is faithful. He's committed to us. And not only up to the cross, but even ongoing, that He is committed in this life to believers to care for you and to love you. And after this life, we have the precious promises of God to let us know that that love goes through eternity. He is committed to loving us forever and ever into that relationship. Do you ever doubt His love? It's okay to be honest. I mean, anytime I do, it usually has to do with me and my sense of unworthiness, or I see the consequences of sin and death in this world, and it's hard. It's hard. But Jesus wants us to have confidence in His faithfulness. I was reading about an interview with Abraham Lincoln, and he had been president for a while, and a friend of his was interviewing him, and he asked him, he said, do you love Jesus? And the president buried his face in his handkerchief and just started shaking and sobbing and weeping. And he said, and I'll just read his words, he said, when I left home to take the chair of state, I was not then a Christian. When my son died, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and looked upon the graves of our dead who had fallen in defense of their country, I then and there committed myself to Christ. I do love Jesus. The spectacle of that crucified one, which is before my eyes, is more sublime and divine. It's in the death of Christ, it's in the cross of Christ that God makes it so clear and argues an argument that is irrefutable. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And if you ever doubt it, there's moments, you know, we all have struggle, but go back to the cross. Go back to the cross. Aren't you glad He has a faithful love today? Amen. And you can have a faithful love. You can love people faithfully because He has given you His Spirit and His power and His leading, guiding you with His Word. You can have a faithful love for people. God's love is a forgiving love. God's love is a forgiving love. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. What happens when we get saved? Well, it's so marvelous and mysterious, I can't explain some of it, I'm sure. Our language is probably inadequate. But when we hear the good news of Jesus Christ and we put our trust in him, we put our trust in what he did on the cross for us, what happens? Well, the Bible says, in this passage, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. We forget that sometimes. We forget that. You know, we lay hold of the water. We lay hold of the cleansing part. That when we're born again, we trust in Jesus Christ, that we're cleansed of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Washed in the blood, all of it just removed from us completely. As far as the east is from the west, thrown into the bottom of the sea. I mean, there's so many ways that you can illustrate that and look at that. But gone forever. You know, I know my sins have been cast into the ocean. He's gotten rid of them, but I go fishing sometimes. And the devil says, here's a boat. Here's some bait. Let's go catch her. Yeah. Let's go drag that back up. But that's not God. When you are forgiven, God says, listen, all those sins, past and present sins and future sins, you are forgiven and cleansed and it is done. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But he not only does that cleansing work, but he gives us his Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and that's not a feeling. It can be. Sometimes a person can have a sense of God's Spirit with us. His Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. And he brings to mind those things in Scripture that we learn, but God, in giving us his Spirit, listen, God not only came to deal with our sin issue, he came to deal with our death problem. Because apart from Christ, apart from the work of salvation, we're not only in our sins, but we are dead in our sins. And so Jesus came so that all the sin could be washed away, but we could also receive the Holy Spirit and have life. And so now, when God tells us to forgive everyone, everything, and our flesh pushes back against that, because people can do some really cruel, hurtful things to us, and we want to argue, and we want to justify hanging on to the bitterness and the unforgiveness, people betrayed Jesus, he understands. But he tells us we have his presence, we have his leading, and that in his strength and his power, you can forgive. You can forgive anyone, anything. And I know that may seem impossible, but it's true. The Word of God says it. You can forgive. We're called to forgive everyone just as Christ has forgiven us. Aren't you glad this morning that he's got a forgiving love?
Amen.
Right. Every day. It never stops. He has a forgiving love. Even on your days when you think, man, he's got to be so embarrassed of me today. He's forgiven you. His blood has paid for that. And he invites us to have that family resemblance. He invites us to just come in humility and faith and say, Jesus, I can't forgive that person, but I believe you can do a work through me. One of the things that helped me do that, there was years ago somebody who had hurt me deeply. And what God gave me to really help me, maybe this will be helpful for you today, is I knew that I was supposed to forgive. I knew I was supposed to, and I didn't think that I could. I knew in my flesh I couldn't. And I was just spending time alone with the Lord, and I was just, God, I can't do it. I can't. I want you to strike that. I want justice. I want fairness. I know what they deserve. And God said, just start praying for them. Not for me to get them and set them straight. Not for them to do what you want them to do. Just, I want you to just pray that they would know me. Just pray for them to draw near to me and to be blessed and let me work in their life. And you just pray that even though you don't mean it. And I did. I said, okay, Lord, I definitely don't mean it. But I started praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. And I found out that eventually, you know what happened is God changed my heart to where I was weeping, crying out to God. Save them. Forgive them. Help them. God can do that. He can do that. You can have a forgiving love just like God does because you have His Spirit. The fourth thing today, God's love is a forever love. God's love is a forever love. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. You know what we're going to do with that eternal life? Woo-hoo. Love Jesus. And let Him love us, right? It is an eternal love. Isn't that awesome? Man. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him so that you can be in this eternal relationship of love and grace with Jesus Christ. What's Romans 8 tell us? About separation from the love of God. Yeah, there is no condemnation. What's that? Nothing. Amen. Amen. You don't have it in your power. You do not have it in your power. Emotionally or spiritually or physically or mentally. Listen, you can do goofy stuff and you can sin and you can bring some consequences upon yourself. God will give you a boot to the backside when you need it. Because He loves you. But you can't cause Him not to love you. You cannot. It is an eternal love. There's nothing. There's nothing the enemy can do. There's nothing the people around you can do. There's nothing you can do to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's awesome news. Aren't you glad that it's an eternal love? It's a forever love. Man, that allows me to walk in confidence and in freedom. Because sometimes I've got my checklist. You know, I've got my moral checklist or my spiritual checklist, and I think, man, I'm doing pretty good today. You know, there's pride. Or I'm messing up a lot today. Or I'm one of those spectrums that Brad mentioned earlier where I think I'm too good or I'm too bad. And God says, listen, that's all nonsense. Just know I love you, okay? It's not about you and your standards and your judgment, what you think of you. Here's what I think of you. I love you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? We're so conditional in our flesh, right? With our love. That's why, you know, sometimes before marriage, people will date for a while, and that's good. You know, it's good. Kim and I, we were engaged for a year before we got married, and that was God giving her wisdom to do that, because we would have gotten married sooner if it was up to me. Because I'm a knucklehead. But she listened to God, so we waited a year with our engagement. But you know, in our flesh, I think part of that is, well, let's just see if this works out, right? Let's just see, it's kind of a trial thing, right? But God says, listen, that's not His love for us. It's not on trial basis. You know, we come to Christ in faith for salvation and think, oh, I can mess the relationship up. You know, I can do something that would separate me. But God says, no, I'm forever committed. My love is forever for you. awesome news. And then Jesus says, now you go and love other people the same way I love you. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us. He's not stingy. He's not a miser. He gives love and grace and truth and beauty and holiness. He gives all these wonderful gifts as we're in relationship with him. What he gives more than anything is he gives himself. But he gives to overflowing so that we have something to give to other people and they can know his love. His love is foregoing. His love is faithful. His love is forgiving. His love is forever. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 that we are to imitate God in everything that we do. That we're to have a family resemblance. That we're to have a life filled with the love of God. I'm going to pray for us, and worship team, you can come back up. But I just want to encourage you as I pray. In our humanity, sometimes we get our eyes off of Jesus. We get our eyes off the cross. We put our trust in other things other than God's Spirit and his presence with us and the truth of his word. I believe that God wants us to experience in a transforming way his love for each of us. So I just want to say if there's anything, if you came here today and there's anything that is blocking that, if there's some kind of bottleneck to where you're just thinking, you know, this is going on in my life, or this is what I've done, or there's, you know, whatever it is, let's take a minute and just, I want to encourage you, unless you know that you know that you know the love of Christ for you today, don't leave. Don't leave. Stay here and let him meet with you, and we're happy to pray with you. If there's something blocking you, maybe it's something from the enemy. Maybe it's just something in your flesh in the past you haven't let go. But if there's anything that is getting in the way of the love of God, let's trust him together. The altar is open. His grace is greater than our sin. His love's bigger than your mess. So I just want to encourage you today, come forward if you need to do that today. Don't leave without knowing the love of Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you love. Lord, that it's such a part of your nature that you tell us God is love. And in love, you gave up your rights. And in love, you were faithful to go to the cross. And that you not only forgive us of our sins, which is just awesome, God. Thank you so much for your blood and your sacrifice. But then you give us your Spirit and you give us identity in you and you adopt us into your family. And you tell us that we are sons and daughters of God, and you give us your Spirit, and you tell us that you will see through to completion the work you begin in each one of us, and that you are giving us a family resemblance. And Lord, what a beautiful part of that family resemblance is your love. God, I pray that in the power of your Spirit, based on the authority of your word today, God, that if there's somebody who's got some shackles keeping them from receiving your love or giving love, God, I pray you would just break those chains today. Lord, we want to walk in the freedom in the fullness of your love so that it brings you praise and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.